This is Jordan Seculo. Breaking news. A suspect has been arrested in the mail bombings throughout the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and we have breaking news on these suspicious packages, bombs, thankfully none that have exploded. The total count so far has been 12 devices. Law enforcement has warned there may be more out there. Thankfully, none have been actually exploded. No one has been injured. But the breaking news is that a suspect has been arrested. We are awaiting an address by President Trump to comment on this arrest. Just to give you a reminder, this began back on Monday. The suspect has been arrested in Florida. 12 packages. There were two more out this morning to Senator Cory Booker and to James Clapper, former Director of National Intelligence. That was also sent to that one was sent to CNN. Again, I think there was a partial evacuation there. We want to get into this for the beginning of the show, and then we're going to get into the election day because, again, folks, you just can't ignore the fact that we are 11 days out from the midterm elections, and the president's very busy on the campaign trail, but also dealing with serious issues like the migrant caravan. We'll update you on that. Like the situation involving these bombs and or potential explosive devices. I think that we need to find out more before we categorize exactly what they were. Were they fakes? Were they real? But what we do know is good news is that a suspect has been arrested. Hopefully that is the person responsible. And let me go right to Andrew Economo, a former U.S. attorney. Andy, if this is the person responsible, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, regardless if these were fake devices or not, or devices that just did not work. They were targeting federal officials, well-known people, former federal officials as well, and using the mail service to do so.
That's right. These are federal crimes as well as crimes in each of the states. To start with the states, these are considered clearly acts of terror in Georgia, for example. We call them terroristic threats, and that's usually the law in other jurisdictions. Federally, they are the interstate transportation of articles used for inflicting terrorist activities. So these are both federal and state crimes, and this person should be definitely interrogated in great detail. Assuming he may ask for a lawyer, in which case the questioning has to stop, but to the extent law enforcement can get information out of him, that would be the best thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah, and it appears the suspect was arrested without kind of a fight, that he's alive.
Yeah.
And so that he could be questioned and find out more about this individual. We even see images right now on television about his vehicle. This happening all in north of Miami in Plantation and Sunrise, Florida, which is kind of inland from Fort Lauderdale, if you're listening from that area. It so appears to be. And we knew that that was the post office that these packages were emanating from, was from that North Miami area. But again, a suspect has been apprehended, arrested, and two more devices intercepted today. Law enforcement has said, listen, just because we have arrested this person, they could have mailed out many more devices, so people still need to be vigilant, especially those who would be, you could kind of put that list together and figure out who is a more likely than not to receive a package like this. And I'm sure we'll find out more about this person. Whoever they are someone who should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Politics aside here, even though this seemed politically motivated and with an ideology, there's no place for this in American politics. We have vigorous debates, vigorous disagreements, but we never resort to terrorism or violence. And the full extent of the law, the law should be thrown at him. And this person should spend a lot of time behind bars. We'll talk about it, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into the caravan as well. So if you've got questions about the pipe bombs, give us a call. The caravan, 1-800-684-3110. And then we're going to get into electoral politics. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call on Jay Seculo Live.
Jay It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
If you are just joining us, we have breaking news. The suspect has been arrested in these pipe bombings, and we have a name now. This name is Cesar Sayoc. I think I pronounced that right. In Florida, someone with some criminal history for grand theft back in 2013. He has been arrested as the main suspect in these 12 pipe bombs that have been delivered so far. There were two more devices delivered this morning, attempted to be delivered. They were all intercepted. Those two were going to Cory Booker, the senator, and James Clapper, CNN contributor and former director of national intelligence. That went to CNN again. So far, this started on Monday with a pipe bomb at Soros' home. None of these have exploded. No one has been injured, but it has caused a lot of terror. Remember the evacuation of the Time Warner Center. I talked about the significance of that with the hotel, with the office buildings, with the apartment buildings, with the grocery store, with the shopping, with CNN located there. I mean, it in effect has caused terror, even if these devices were phony or just weren't built correctly. And that would be a good thing that thankfully no one was injured. There's no place for this in our politics. 11 days out from midterm elections, it certainly puts things into perspective, but it does not mean we can't have vigorous debates and disagreements in our country without resorting to not just violence, but terror, which is what this is acts of domestic terror and attempted to terrorize the people. And again, we condemn it to the fullest extent. So we have a name now, again, of the suspect. We know the location in Florida, Sunrise and Plantation, Florida. It appears a vehicle was in one of those locations. Home was in the other location. So that's north of Miami, kind of inland from Fort Lauderdale. And we don't know yet if there were other people involved. This is a suspect. So, again, it may not be over. The president is planning to address this. If that happens while we're live on the air, we will certainly cover it. I want to take your comments. Nancy on Facebook, and we're taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. Nancy on Facebook writes in, what kind of consequences does a person like this face, Andy?
Well, of course, the obvious and most appropriate and prudent and proper consequence is that he's put in prison, because someone like this is not fit to live in the society of human beings, and they're locked away for a period of time because they've obviously committed or attempted to commit the most terrible crimes. And in the worst scenario, this could be considered an attempted murder because you're doing everything you can to eradicate the life of a human being by means of an explosive device, if in fact that's what it was. And even if it didn't explode, the fact that the perception of the recipient is what counts. So the ultimate penalty here is jail.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, what we hope is that this will bring an end to this time period after this week in the United States of these devices being delivered, even as early as this morning with two more devices. So a total count at 12. But the Postal Service, law enforcement has said they have no reason to believe that's all the devices. By apprehending the person, that will stop them from sending more. But how many more out in the postal system is still a question. So you have to remain vigilant. Listen, we have listeners on both sides of the aisle. This is obviously focused on a lot of those on the left. If you work in those kind of offices in Capitol Hill or in regional offices for members of Congress, be vigilant. You know, it's going through mail. If you work in the Postal Service, be vigilant as well. We want you to be safe because while some of these individuals are so high profile, their mail gets screened at special facilities, others are not, and they're going through the regular Postal Service. So, again, we've got to remind all the people who could be in the line of danger because of an individual like this. We condemn it to the fullest extent. I think you put the politics aside because that may be their purpose, their ideological purpose behind it, but obviously something is seriously wrong with a person, whether it's they are criminal or just insane or criminally insane. You can put it all together. They should be facing serious law enforcement penalties. They'll go through the process. But again, this because the disruption, the use of the mail service, the people who were targeted, very serious. And now we expect President Trump will address that as well. And we'll cover that on the broadcast today if it happens while we're on the air. Department of Justice is also going to speak to it later on today. So taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into a little bit of this caravan issue while we've got Andy here as well. The caravan of migrants heading towards the border. They are in Mexico now. It looks like they're heading towards either the Texas border or California border. Texas border crossing is closer. The president, Andy, yesterday has authorized 800 additional troops through General Mattis, Secretary Mattis, the Department of Defense. That includes that would then up the number to there were already 2,100 National Guard troops there. That can increase to 4,000. This 800 could be more as well. So the U.S. is preparing for a border for this to happen at our border if it is not able to be stopped before in Mexico. But that is the hope, is that we work with the Mexican government and get this stopped and dissipated, because the numbers are still in the thousands. I mean, estimates anywhere between 3 to 14,000 people. That is a lot more than the last caravan we experienced in April 2018. So again, Andy, I mean, it appears that the Trump administration is preparing for two things. One, possibly having to deal with this on their own, and two, trying to get Mexico to work with us to deal with it together.
Right. As we've said, the position of the ACLJ has always been that we want to have an intervention prior to the arrival of this wave of humanity at the border. And by that, I mean intervening with Mexican authorities to stop them, to turn them back, to put them into categories, perhaps, of those who are legitimately seeking asylum, which is really available in the first state in which you feel safe, in the first nation in which you feel safe, which should be Mexico in this case, and then ferreting out those who are here to do ill to the United States, people who are not here seeking asylum but to do danger, those who are engaged in human trafficking and so forth. And we're working with the Mexican authorities to do that. And of course, as you said, Jordan, we're sending troops to the border, but they're there only to support the civil authorities, and they are not expected to come into regular contact with the migrants. If they carry arms, it is solely for purposes of self-defense. And, of course, the law in the United States currently prohibits the routine use of troops in routine law enforcement activities. I don't expect that that will happen. I anticipate and hope that there will not be confrontations at the border between this wave of humanity and the United States troops. You never know. I hope it doesn't happen.
Let me remind you, the president's executive order that was ultimately okayed by the U.S. Supreme Court after many legal battles on immigration and preventing a certain individuals certain from certain countries for periods of time from immigrating or being granted visas to the United States. There's discussion now being reported that President Trump, one idea is to use that executive order, because it can be expanded on, like the list of countries on that, use that executive order to actually shut down the crossing point so that our offices are closed there so that people who make it don't even have the opportunity to apply. That, again, will cause, that will cause legal issues and legal battles, but I do believe that under that executive order, the power is there for the president to do it. It would be a unique way to apply, because it would be happening at the border instead of somebody applying for a visa.
Right, and I think that that would be an excellent thing to do. The president clearly has the authority under the executive order that he issued. He can modify it, issue another executive order that deals with the same thing, but stop the portals, stop the ports of entry, stop those places where you come in. I think McAllen, Texas was one, Tijuana was the other, if they went in either direction, but he could stop that at the point of entry. There would be no question here of any discrimination because of Islamic or Middle Eastern origin. We're talking about invaders to the United States, potentially, which the president has exclusive authority as the head of the executive branch of government to protect the country to do.
You talked about the troops' power on the border. Dan on Facebook writes, and can the troops help make sure the situation doesn't escalate dangerously once this caravan, if it does reach our southern border? That is what they're there to do, is to make sure it does not reach a dangerous situation for citizens.
That's right. What the troops are there to do is really a defensive posture. What we don't want there to be is any kind of horrible confrontation at the border between the migrants and the troops that would create bloodshed. That's not what we're out to do. We're there to protect the border, and the troops are there for defensive purposes, not for offensive purposes. That's not the purpose for which the president and the Secretary of Defense have deployed them.
We'll continue to take your phone calls in the next segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. We'll discuss more about the caravan, suspect arrested in the pipe bombs, 12 that have been attempted to be delivered, all intercepted to prominent individuals. One person wrote, is this a failure on our broken system? That was Kathy on Facebook, because he's been arrested before. His arrest had nothing to do with this kind of activity. It was a grand theft. Now, I will say with a caveat, we don't know what else is out there about him. Could there be a social media profile that said, well, this may be somebody that the FBI should have been watching more closely? We don't know. We're just finding out this information now. We'll discuss it on Jay Sekulow Live. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I appreciate Andy Economo joining us to talk about the law enforcement side. If you are just joining us, there's breaking news. A suspect has been arrested in Florida for these what have been called pipe bombs. None have exploded. No one has been injured, thank God. 12 so far have been intercepted to high-profile people, mostly on the left and some in the media. We don't know, by the way, just because this person was arrested as a suspect does not mean there weren't others involved, and it doesn't mean there aren't other packages out there. And so if you work at the Postal Service or if you work for a member of Congress, and we have people who listen on both sides of the aisle, listen, be vigilant still, because this person could have mailed out many more packages before they were arrested. They've been under surveillance for at least 24 hours. We started hearing yesterday about this emanating in the North Miami area, and that's in fact where the arrest was made and a vehicle taken. The vehicle was taken, one arrest in Sunset and then one in Plantation of Florida. This is kind of west of, so inland of Fort Lauderdale, north of Miami. We have a name, Caesar Sayoc. He does have a criminal record for grand theft on criminal side, nothing that would relate to kind of this pipe bombing or these kind of incidents. We don't know his profile, social media, whether there were other kind of warning signs about him, whether he was acting alone. But I do want to update you on that. That is the news as we have it right now, the breaking news of today. There's also breaking news on the caravan, and I want to get right to the phones on that. Now Than Bennett is joining us. In the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to go right into the midterm elections. We're only 11 days out. We got a lot to talk about in the Senate and the House and races that are changing, some favoring Republicans, some favoring Democrats. We're going to get into all of that, but let's first talk about the caravan because there's some news there as well. Let's go first to Tracy in Virginia on line two. Tracy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much. I just was curious, when this all started, who alerted us of this, told us that they were on their way up here?
Well, I think we know that there was a organization behind this that started this. They're actually based in the United States, in Oakland, California, Pueblo Sin Fronteras, which means village without borders. So it's a U.S.-based NGO that funds these caravans. This is much larger than the previous caravan that we all kind of remember back in April. That started with about 1,500 people, dwindled down to around 500 who ultimately made it to the border. More than 100 of those were arrested for illegal entry. Some of the others were granted their first level of asylum. So they were allowed entry on an asylum basis. What it appears is that this group, one of their strategies may have been in that case, is to dwindle the group down to those who could make a serious claim for asylum. But this is, an activist organization based in the United States working with leftist politicians in Central America. The difference here is this caravan is much larger. The estimates are anywhere between 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 all the way to 14,000. It's still pretty far away from the United States then, but the president's taking steps through the Department of Defense to secure our border and these two locations, and even thinking about closing border crossings using the executive order we fought so hard for on the immigration and visas.
Yeah, a couple of things, Jordan. First of all, on the origins of the caravan, I think it's crystal clear in this case that there were a lot of political motives from the left for the origins of this caravan. But still, even so, it leaves the United States in the predicament of having to sort through what the group looks like in the end when it approaches the border. So you're going to have certainly people that should not be allowed into the United States. Then you're going to have people that will claim asylum. Those will have to be processed according to the law. By the way, there are some statutes statutory changes that probably need to be made. But it is incumbent on the president to use all of the leverage that is available to him. You mentioned the executive order. He's already engaging the National Guard, the military, to go down to the border. Of course, he's also said that he would be denying foreign aid to countries that don't cooperate with us. And Jordan, I think maybe most importantly, he has distinguished between the countries that this caravan is passing through that might have the capacity to work with us to stop it. I mean, you know, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, they really didn't have a capacity to stop this caravan, but Mexico does, and you have seen the president engage the Mexican government. It seems like they're cooperating. It seems like the goal here is to stop the caravan before it gets here, because, Jordan, if and when a group does get here, the United States will have an obligation to then sort through whoever's there if the border's not shut down and determine who might have a legal claim.
And we're talking about a legal claim for asylum,
right,
which is different than immigration law. In asylum, you have to prove that your life is in jeopardy, and you've got to have evidence of that. You also have to prove that the countries that you passed through were not safe. So it's supposed to be that the first safe country you get to outside of your home country, if you're looking for asylum, is where you were supposed to declare asylum. That's under the UN standards of international law and U.S. law. So if you were someone fleeing Honduras because of a specific threat in Honduras and you got to a town in Mexico or a city in Mexico, you should be claiming asylum there. And the Mexican authorities would then go through that process about whether or not you meet the qualifications. Now, we know people want to get to the U.S., and we have allowed, I think the laws are not tough enough, people to keep crossing through multiple countries and then heading to our border and then making an asylum claim and saying, well, you know, I didn't really want these other places, I couldn't be safe either. In some cases, individual cases, that may be true. But for the vast majority, you should be able to claim asylum in the first place. It's called the kind of first place you land, first place you touch foot in that is outside of your home country, where you're under the jurisdiction of a new law enforcement and a new country and a new sovereign territory. Continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, our second half hour, we're talking all midterms. So get in your calls about that as well. 11 days out from the midterm elections, we'll give you updates on the key Senate races, House races, how things are looking. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Raj in Virginia. Online for Raj. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, all you dear men.
Thanks, Raj.
I am so blessed in what you're doing and would like to, of course, emphasize two or three things, and I'd like your comments on it very specifically, because this is also a matter of health. There's disease which is being, and these Trojan horses in this caravan are full of international traffickers in minors.
Yeah, well, we know that there are a lot of, and our Department of Homeland Security has reported that there are known criminals, gang elements, Middle Easterners, people who are not from Central American descent, and obviously those who would use a caravan like this to take advantage of it for bad and illegal purposes. And you talk about the disease issue. Listen, these are all issues you have to face if it makes it to your border and you decide to open those crossings to process the applications. Let me try to grab one more call quickly before we go into our next break. Lori in Arkansas on line one. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call and for what you do.
Hey, Lord.
Is there any opportunity for the United Nations to get involved to protect our border?
I don't think we want the UN involved on protecting our border. They get involved where there are regional military conflicts, like between two countries, not when two countries should be able to work together, like the U.S. and Mexico, to deal with this. So they're involved in, like, Lebanon-Israel border and Gaza-Israel, places like that, places in Africa, not where it's two allies who should work together. So let's not get the UN involved. Let's handle this between the U.S. and Mexico working together, hopefully long before this caravan reaches our southern border. We come back, midterm elections, 11 days away, politics. Get your calls in, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We are going to get right into the midterm elections, but since some people join us just the beginning of this second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, let me update you with the biggest breaking news of the day, and that is that a suspect has been arrested in these pipe bombings, the 12 that have been intercepted to some high-profile individuals, current and former government officials, as well as some celebrities. The suspect has been arrested. Again, does not mean that there's not other devices that could be out there, so remain vigilant. The president is likely to address this. If it happens while we're on the air, we will go to the president's comments, but we do want to focus in on giving you an update on the midterm elections right now. We're only 11 days out. We covered the caravan, which obviously has an impact on the election. We covered the devices. Obviously has an impact because the entire week of news has been on these devices. But now we want to look right into the midterm elections. We're 11 days out from Election Day. But let me remind you, in many places, including my home state, you can already vote. Many people are. I'm actually planning to vote either in the next few days. People are already making up their mind, casting their ballots. A lot of votes will be in before Election Day. So we're in a time period now in America where we have Election Day, but it really is like a two-week period where you can go and vote and convince people to get out there and actually cast their final vote for a candidate. So, Dan, I want to start off in the U.S. Senate because that is where it looks like Republicans are having the potential for the most gains. And there's pretty shocking news out of New Jersey, a Senate race there. Pretty blue state, though. It's elected, you know, people like Chris Christie. There have been Christie Todd Whitman types in New Jersey. The Senate race there, Bob Menendez is in some trouble, and the race has been moved by the Cook Political Report to a toss-up. That would be a huge victory for Republicans.
It would be monumental, Jordan. I mean, this is one of the races that you and I have talked about several times on this broadcast and keeping an eye on it, because if it did move into a competitive territory, it was going to be a clear sign that not only were the Republicans going to keep the majority in the United States Senate, but it might be a significant majority. Now polling inside that state has it, in some cases, within the margin of error, with Bob Hugin closing to within five points of Bob Menendez. Of course, Jordan, Bob Menendez has been plagued with scandal over the last couple of years. Bob Hugin has run a very good campaign. He's a businessman. He appeals to people that are maybe a little tired of the political process. But the fact that New Jersey is on the map tells me that the Republicans are in a very strong position in the United States Senate. Jordan, as we've talked about, most of the political battlefield in the United States Senate is in Trump states that were carried by Donald Trump, in Republican states as of this point. New Jersey would certainly not be one of them, and yet it's in play.
Let's go to the president right now. He, I believe, is addressing the issue involving the pipe bombers.
That law enforcement has apprehended the suspect and taken him into custody. It's an incredible job by law enforcement. We've carried out a far-reaching federal, state, and local investigation to find the person or persons responsible for these events. These terrorizing acts are despicable and have no place in our country. No place. I've instructed authorities to spare no resource or expense in finding those responsible and bringing them to swift and certain justice. And we will prosecute them, him, her, whoever it may be, to the fullest extent of the law. We must never allow political violence to take root in America. Cannot let it happen. And I'm committed to doing everything in my power as president to stop it.
And yeah, to so stop how is the left going to attack that?
Stop it.
You know, I mean, just like we have echoed, and the president waited till a suspect was apprehended to say we will not accept political violence in America, and to do everything possible, make sure it's this individual and not additional individuals as well, prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. So there you heard from President Trump, the announcement of this suspect being arrested, but still law enforcement activities ongoing. He's taking it very seriously. He's also taking the midterm elections very seriously as well. We will continue to talk about those when we come back. We discussed New Jersey is now a toss-up between incumbent Democrat Senator Bob Menendez. Folks, this was a race that people were not watching that closely, and an upcoming businessman.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We covered the president live addressing the apprehension, the arrest of the suspect in these pipe bombings. Still packages could be out there, so be vigilant. Hopefully this is the individual involved. There could be more, but hopefully this is the person, and that will come to an end. Even if there are more packages out there, they won't be able to send out additional packages. And as the president said, no place for political violence in our country. Prosecute them to the full extent of the law. Use all resources possible to make sure this person and anyone else who was working with them is apprehended. Again, it's important because 11 days out from a midterm election, people already voting and early voting, it has an impact. I mean, I'm not trying to sound crass, but it does. The caravan issue has an impact as well. We want to get into the numbers, and we want to hear what you think. What are you seeing in your state? 1-800-684-3110. Do Republicans have a shot at keeping the House of Representatives and maybe making some pretty big gains? And in the Senate, big gains are 3 or 4 or 5 seats. That's a big gain because it's only it's a branch of government with only 100 seats. And so it's not really a question right now of a Republican majority in the Senate, which is a lot different place from where we were just a few weeks ago. But how big that Republican majority could be. 11 days is a long time in politics. A lot can happen. But we update you throughout these time periods because people are already voting. So we want to make sure you kind of know the sense of the layout of the land. I want to start back, though, Than, with New Jersey, because I think it's so important. This is really the breaking news political of the day, is that the Cook Political Report, which is very respected, has put the New Jersey Senate race, which is incumbent Democrat Bob Menendez, who has been there a long time, has had a lot of legal issues, but still no one thought he really had a chance of being beaten in a state like New Jersey. Though I remind you, Chris Christie's Christy Todd Whitman's. There are Republicans that have won there before statewide. He is facing a businessman, and that has been moved to a toss-up. Tell us about that one.
Well, the reason it's so surprising is because it's New Jersey, Jordan, but the reason it's a toss-up is because of how hard the momentum is moving towards Bob Hugin. I mean, just a matter of a few weeks ago, you were seeing polls of 15 and 20-point leads for Bob Menendez, even though his favorability rates inside the state were not that high. He still had an enormous lead when you looked at the polls. That has been closing and closing rapidly. So the last poll I saw had it within the margin of error, which if you are an incumbent in a blue state running as a Democrat and the polling shows it within the margin of error, you have to be extremely worried, and I think Bob Menendez is at this point. But then when you zoom out a little bit, Jordan, you're right. The reason New Jersey tells such a story across the landscape of the United States Senate is because the Democrats, Jordan, cannot afford to lose a single seat that they currently occupy, and then they need to essentially sweep the competitive races that the Republicans are defending. If they're losing New Jersey, Jordan, it tells me that they are going to lose a lot of seats that they're holding and likely would not flip any that the Republicans are holding. So you could be looking at a scenario where Republicans have 54, 55, 56, 57 seats in the United States Senate. If Bob Menendez is anywhere on the map, Jordan, the Democrats are in a lot of trouble in the United States Senate.
And if the House were to go Democrat, but you had that kind of Republican majority in the Senate, it does give Republicans a lot more power, bargaining power, along with the president, who's a Republican in the White House, the executive branch, to deal. I mean, if you want to get things done, first of all, the Senate handles all the confirmations of officials and judges, so it would not impact that if the House goes Democrat. But legislation, obviously, you want to be able to legislate, get budgets through, make changes, make fixes. There are some big issues like immigration as well that would be a lot tougher with the Democrat majority, but we're not there yet. I mean, I want to stay on the Senate first. Let's move to North Dakota. This is one that you say is so key. Because basically, you win North Dakota, that the GOP at least keeps the Senate majority.
Yeah, North Dakota is the reason that I'm convinced that the Republicans are going to keep the United States Senate. It's just a matter of margin. And here's why, Jordan, because the Republicans come in with a 51-49 seat advantage. I think there are only two seats that the Democrats still have a chance to pull away from the Republicans. That's in Arizona and Nevada. So then if they held every other seat that they have, Jordan, they would only have a one-seat majority. Well, I think they're going to lose this seat in North Dakota. I think Heidi Heitkamp is going to lose to Congressman Kevin Cramer. Again, like we talked about in New Jersey, the numbers are just moving rapidly in his direction. The difference here, Jordan, is he is moving from a close race to a blowout race in his favor, as opposed to what Bob Menendez is doing, which is closing the gap. So I think that is going to be a flip to the Republicans. And then if the Democrats win every other competitive seat on the map, it would be a 50-50 spread for Republicans, and Vice President Pence would cast the tie-breaking vote.
Let me tell you something, folks. You are a politically in-touch audience. I really want to hear from you 11 days out. Have you taken part in early voting? What are you sensing in your own state as you watch, or even across the country? Because we can all see kind of what's happening as we're a national broadcast in different places. But we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Are you vigorously backing candidates? Have you already voted? Are you talking to your friends and family about it? Where do you get the sense that the momentum is? Is it behind Republicans? Is it behind Democrats? And a lot of that will depend on where you happen to live. And sometimes it's, where you happen to live in what part of the state or what part of a city that you happen to live in. Give us a call. We really want your thoughts on that at 1-800-684-3110. We know you all enjoy discussing politics, and we have an opportunity to do it here with 11 days until a very important midterm election. So we talk about North Dakota. Tennessee and Texas, these were two states, Than, that Democrats really had their eyes on. In Tennessee, it was in the Senate race. It was Phil Bredesen, a former governor, running as a supposed moderate Democrat, versus Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, well known to people who are Fox News and conservative in the conservative world. That race was looking very tight, and President Trump came down. The Kavanaugh news came out. Bredesen tried to play this, "Oh, I would vote for Kavanaugh." His staff got caught on camera saying he just said that for politics. You added those two things together, Trump being down there, his staff being caught saying he wouldn't actually have voted for Kavanaugh. He was just saying that to get elected. And the poll numbers there have gone very strongly in favor of Marsha Blackburn. The momentum is behind the Republicans. And the Republican gubernatorial candidate there also. So they have a lot of momentum, too.
Yeah, first of all, globally on those two states, Jordan, Tennessee and Texas, I think these were the two states that Democrats were trying to broaden the playing field on. We talked about how Arizona and Nevada look like they're their only two pickup opportunities at this point. I think Democrats were hoping that Tennessee and Texas would be places where they could add gains, and we might get to Texas in a minute, but I think that's why you've seen some of the fundraising numbers there. But look, Phil Bredesen, Jordan, I'm just going to call it like I see it. I think he was running a strong campaign and then made a fatal mistake. I think Tennessee voters stand firmly behind President Trump's Supreme Court list. I think they stood behind the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, and they were glad to hear that Phil Bredesen was going to vote for him. And then it was revealed that that was just a political statement, and he was making it when in reality, if he'd been in the United States Senate, there was almost no indication that he would do it. In fact, his staff admitted that he probably wouldn't. Jordan, I think that probably was the last nail in the political coffin for Phil Bredesen. Now, that would say, whether we're talking about Tennessee or Texas or any of these states, because of what you just described about early voting, no matter what we say or anyone else, you cannot take any of these races for granted.
No.
Because, Jordan, I will tell you this. There will be one state that will surprise everybody on the map, and I can't tell you where that will be. So no matter what we stay here, you don't take any of these states for granted.
No, I mean, listen, in most polls, Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee, running for Senate against Bredesen, has got a six-point lead. One still has Bredesen, a recent poll, with a one-point lead. Another shows Blackburn with a 14-point lead. As Stan said, people voted early, maybe before that Bredesen controversy about Kavanaugh. So favor certainly going in Marsha Blackburn's direction, and in the gubernatorial race there, favoring the Republican as well, Bill Lee, in that race. So again, it looks like that is no longer really in play for the Democrats. Though I will tell you, Phil Bredesen has a lot of resources, so he's up on TV there in Tennessee and will be through Election Day. Don't take anything for granted. Polls are polls. They just kind of give you the sense of momentum. You can see when things have really shifted. It certainly has in Tennessee. And let's go to Texas then, too, because that was another one where, again, a very liberal congressman, Beto O'Rourke, has amassed this huge campaign war chest. But President Trump came down, things got a little more serious, and now Ted Cruz is in every single poll, has got a lead outside the margins. Just barely, but outside the margins.
Yeah, look, anytime you raise funds like Beto O'Rourke has, it's going to be a race that deserves a lot of attention because he's going to be all over the airwaves, national money pouring in, the ability to have aggressive get-out-the-vote campaign. So the dollars that Beto raised really were remarkable, Jordan. But look, in an environment where it's the state that is probably the most concerned about border security, I think his position on immigration and the borders and the wall is probably going to prove politically fatal to him as well. So look, I think the polling there shows Ted Cruz opening up a 6-8 vote lead. I think at the end of the day, he will carry that seat. But look, if you're living in Texas, Jordan, you are going to see commercials nonstop because Beto O'Rourke has dollars to spend like we've never seen before.
There are a couple states that we will get to. I'll give you a little preview. Arizona and Nevada. These are really seats that are running margin of error. They're very tight races there. We will talk about when we come back. We had a quick question that is Ted Cruz, sit on Facebook, doing enough to beat Beto O'Rourke? It looks like he is. I mean, partnering with President Trump, also has a big campaign war chest. Beto, he's got a lot of money to spend in these final days and early voting and all of that, but it's trending in Ted Cruz's direction. He'll continue to work hard. We know Senator Cruz well. He's going to not take anything for granted, but I do believe he will carry the day there, though we're 11 days out from the election, and Beto O'Rourke certainly put together something interesting. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
This is a segment we take phone calls, and we've got great calls all on the midterm elections. We're going to get right to them. But I wanted to address the two closest Senate races right now in the country, 11 days out from the midterms. Then we're going to go right to your phone calls. Those are in Arizona and Nevada. Let's start in Arizona. Than, this is an open seat because of the passing of Senator John McCain. Tell us about the two candidates there, both members of Congress.
Yeah, that's right. Martha McSally versus Kyrsten Sinema. Jordan, I'll be honest with you. I think this is going to come down to one issue in the state of Arizona. That's immigration and border security. There's a very big divergence between the two candidates. Martha McSally is closely aligned with President Trump on his efforts to secure the border and then work on an overall solution. Kyrsten Sinema, just quite frankly, is not. And I think that has been the driving force of really having the numbers move Martha McSally's way. A matter of a month ago, it looked like a 2-3-4 point advantage for Kyrsten Sinema. Now it looks like Martha McSally is up by about a point or two.
Yeah.
The early numbers there as far as registration sure do look like they're favoring her. But again, Jordan, go back globally. This is one of the two Republican seats that Democrats absolutely have to have if they were to take a majority.
Yeah, I mean, so again, these are important races, and they are within the margin of error. Either candidate could win, but there's some momentum going behind the Republicans right now. Take a listen. This is just interesting. The Democrat candidate, Congressman Sinema, she said this in a radio show. This is coming back to haunt her a bit. Bite 33.
No. I don't think
by more, I mean, as an individual, if I want to go fight in the Taliban army, I go over there and I'm fighting for the Taliban. I'm saying that's a personal decision. Individual,
fine, I don't care if you want to do that.
I mean, I don't know why she said something like that. Fine, I don't care if you go fight for the Taliban. But as a member of Congress... And then she says this about her own state, Bite 34, speaking to the very liberal this year, Netroots Nation, just a couple months ago.
As we see in this very quote, that the states are the laboratories of democracy, and then my state, Arizona, is clearly the meth lab of democracy. And I cannot take credit for that line. Someone at The Daily Show wrote it, but I'm happy to steal it and use it all the time.
You know, that's not funny if you're running for your own... to be a senator in your state where you've got an issue serious enough like that just to please a crowd. So again, that is coming back. And I know that those bites are being used and speeches are being used to remind people about just who these people are. Because so many times, then, the Senate candidates, they try to change who they are. Let's finally get to Nevada and then get to these phone calls. Nevada, Dean Heller is a Republican incumbent facing a challenge from a Democrat, Rosen. What does it look like there?
Yeah, Jackie Rosen, a congresswoman from Nevada. Again, this was one of the states that Democrats really focused on early on. They thought they had a great job to flip this seat. Senator Heller's numbers were down a little bit. Jordan, I think President Trump has actually played a big role in this state as well, turning out for Dean Heller. The numbers have turned around, and it looks like he's got about a 2-point lead there. Again, a lot of national dollars are going to flow into this state, Jordan. I think Dean Heller's in a better position than Jackie Rosen is. Again, it's a state that Democrats have to have if they have the majority. So if you're in Nevada, you're going to be inundated with ads over these last 11 days.
Okay, we've got lots of calls. Try to keep your comments as short as possible so we can get to all of them. Let's start with Joe in North Carolina on line one. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, I manage an apartment complex in North Carolina, and I've been asking residents, you know, how are you feeling, how are you voting, and I've only found two Democrats that say they're still going to vote Democrat. The other ones that have told me they're Democrats, and it's probably at least 15, said after the Kavanaugh thing, they just can't vote Democrat.
You know, that is an interesting point right there. I think that I want to get to as many calls as possible, but I think we cannot forget the effect that Kavanaugh behavior by the Democrats really is what started this Republican beginning of a, I wouldn't say it a red wave yet, but a comeback for Republicans, not just in the Senate, especially in the Senate, but also potentially in the House as well, which we can get to in a later show because there's a lot to talk about there as well, focusing on the Senate today, 11 days out. Back to the phones we go. But I do think Kavanaugh, it was the beginning of this Republican kind of resurgence in the midterm elections, along with President Trump hitting the campaign trail again, doing what he does best. Shirley in Michigan on line two. Shirley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. A couple minutes ago, Fan said that one state's going to be the shocker, and I think that could be Michigan. John James up against Debbie Stabenow. 2 to 3 weeks ago, he was 15 points down. He's now 7, and in some competitive areas, he's either even or running ahead. He is a rock star. If you have any listeners and all the ones in Michigan, check him out
yep.
on his website, and definitely tell. I've convinced several people already, just telling them about him, that are changing their vote to him. So we need to talk and communicate with our friends and neighbors, and make them aware. He is a wonderful candidate.
This is someone with a lot of military experience right then, and again, was 20 points down just 6 weeks ago, is surging right now in Michigan, a state that President Trump did carry.
I agree with Shirley. I think this could be a shocker. It was on my list with Bob Menendez. Remember, Donald Trump yeah. won Michigan. Debbie Stabenow should be able to win that state, but John James has run a terrific campaign. Look, I won't be surprised at all to wake up in 12 days and find out that John James is the next senator from Michigan.
A Stabenow or a Menendez losing for Democrats would just be historic for Republicans. I will put it that way. Those would be one of those two shockers, I think. Maybe both. Maybe we could have two shocking states. Let's keep going. Billy in New Jersey on line three. Billy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. First, I want to thank you guys for all the work you do, and you're in my prayers all the time. I'm a Republican in New Jersey, and I mean, personally, I was shocked when Chris Christie won. But routinely on the ballots here in New Jersey, there's not even a Republican candidate in a lot of the seats. And I think, you know, New Jerseyans, you know, when we have a governor that ran on the platform of turning New Jersey into a sanctuary state and raising taxes, and he actually won, okay?
Yep.
Chris Christie proves that there is a complacent Republican faction out there that is not getting out and voting. And I
think so. And I think, Billy, that's why. But you do have this, to give you some hope, I get you. I've lived in states and cities where there are no Republican options, no conservative options before, and it's disappointing. But you've got a statewide race there that is very serious with this surging candidate against Bob Menendez. Let's mention that one more time, Than, just quickly for people.
Yeah, you don't have that situation right now. Bob Hugin, he is running a terrific campaign in New Jersey. There is traction there. So look, it's not an opportunity where you can complain about who's on the ballot. In this case, you've got a candidate that's right in the midst of it, Jordan.
All right, we got two calls left. Let's take both of them. Cindy in Missouri on line six. Very quickly, Cindy, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I'm in Missouri, and I just drove Interstate 70 yep. from St. Charles, Missouri to Columbia, Missouri, and I saw
right.
dozens and dozens of Josh Hawley signs and only one Claire McCaskill sign. So I don't
Listen.
Know what these polls are saying, but boy, when you drive around in Missouri, people are on fire for Josh Hawley.
Another very close race within the margin of error, but either candidate could win. Turnout will matter. Josh Hawley, State Attorney General?
State Attorney General in Jordan.
He's won statewide.
I can tell her what the polls say. They say that Josh Hawley's ahead.
Yeah, and so again, but turnout matters. Let me tell you, 11 days out, early voting is occurring. People are already casting their ballots, so you need to be talking to your friends and family. I'll probably be casting my ballot in the next few days. And so, again, a lot will happen. But many Republicans, it's interesting, wait until Election Day. And so sometimes those numbers are a little lopsided. We'll keep coming back to the midterm elections. We didn't even get to the House yet, which is a tougher battle for Republicans. Let's be honest about it. But still a battle to fight for. There is this kind of wave moving. We will talk about it next time on Jay Sekulow Live. Have a great weekend.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.